This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome, everyone, to the September 1st edition of the INGO Identifier Protection, IRT call. So I'm sharing my screen now, and we will quickly run through the agenda and get right to the policy language. So, as always, I'd like to just quickly run over the... Hold on. Okay, Lori, I'm on audio only, so you'll have to, like, chat. Okay. We'll do it, Lori. I'll provide the languages on the chat. Oh, no. So I'll have to read it. So you will hear everything that we're looking at. So first, the point that I'm making is that our timeline hasn't changed. Your mic hasn't connected for some reason. Okay. Let me see if I can address that a little later. But for now, we're just looking at the timeline that you've been looking at for a long time, and it hasn't changed. And our status from last week didn't change. We're finally down to our policy language. Scope hasn't changed. There's nothing that came in that alters any change to the course of our project. And I presume we went through the protective identifier list on our IRT wiki page, and that hasn't changed. So we come to our draft consensus policy language. So let me see here. So what I have circulated was a IGO-INGO Identifier Protection Consensus Policy, a version that we had revised in for Section 3.2. Thank you, Mary, for helping with the mic. You're so good at this. And we had a lengthy paragraph there, and Crystal, who was on the call last meeting, said that we may have missed a scenario where a name is registered first, and then the name gets put on the protected list afterwards. So what do we do then? So we try to address it, and it just so happens that when we were looking at the language, we realized we have similar language in the registry agreement, which we adopted. And then we had Crystal come back and said she likes it, but has a suggestion. So we have this suggestion. Yes, Lori, this morning, let me see if I captured that here. So Crystal said that maybe we should say this. Is existing registration of protected identifiers in GTLD for second-level domain names matching labels protected per Section 3.1 of this policy that were registered before the label's inclusion of the protected list, registry operator shall reserve such label from initial, i.e., other than renewal, registration within the TLD. So that was the proposed language. And then Lori came back and proposed this language. Let me see. I can read it. for existing registration or protected identifiers in GTLD, or second-level domain names matching label protected per Section 3.1 of this policy that were registered before the label's inclusion on the protected list. So until then, there is the same language. But then she goes on to say, registry operator shall permit renewals and otherwise reserve such labels from initial registration or transfer to unrelated legal entities. Laurie, if you're on the phone, do you want to follow up with any remarks?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. Okay. So this was my thinking with this language. I thought it'd be better to write something in the positive regarding what if there are particularly with my NGOs, if these have any sort of success or an interest where they're changing their name or they're changing their location or there's some sort of change that would put a legal change of ownership but maybe not a new owner, that we should account for that. I was a little concerned about some initial registration and not talking about legitimate transfers of rights.
Hmm.
If that makes sense to people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be an INGO and you've dissolved in, let's say, one jurisdiction and you're reforming in another jurisdiction, or your assets could shift in some way that requires a domain name transfer. And I wanted to make sure that they weren't prohibited from doing that. And I think
see.
This language does that.
Yeah.
I think
see.
This
well,
language does that.
Right, any comments? Let me see. I have a proposed, let's see, and let me just share with you some changes that Mary has proposed based on that. And that is, let's see, for the second level domain names, matching labels protected per Section 3.1 of this policy that were registered before the inclusion of the label on the protected list. So that's, I think, same meaning. Here we say, registry operator shall reserve such labels from initial registration or transfer to unrelated legal entities, except that renewals by the same registrant or its legal successor shall be permitted.
Hi, this is Holly. For what it's worth, I think that is a little bit more confusing than the language that Lori suggested. I guess I don't really understand the difference of what the Mary's edit is trying to achieve.
Let's see. Switch the order that Lori had it to make it clear the rule first, then allow for the exception and renewal. I see. I don't know if you're looking at Mary's comment here. I don't know if Mary, if you can talk, maybe it's better if you speak.
Hey, Dennis, everybody, this is Mary. I apologize for my voice. As Lori and I think Holly know, I have a bit of a sore throat, or a lot of a sore throat, so... As I said in chat, I was just trying to put the rule first, sort of taking Crystal's approach, and then allowing for exceptions and provisos after. But as I said in the chat, if that makes it more confusing, then we should probably go with the clearer language.
Anybody else have comments on this? Somebody's typing badly. We can hear you.
I'm sorry. It's me, Lori. Sorry. I guess there's so few of us. I apologize for just not raising my hand. But I just thought that the first word that renewal is a sign. It's just any new registrant that's not related to the legal entity that originally has owned this is what's not okay. Unless, of course, you know, for the pre-existing. Like, in other words, if you're pre-existing, you have it, and you can renew it, but you can't give it away unless you give it away to a legitimate successor in interest. I think this is Mary and I lawyering back and forth. I think both work, but whichever people think is clearer, I don't know that I think it matters so much.
Okay, so Mary thinks it's for you. I mean, so probably this is what the IRT likes, and it's more clear. So registry shall permit. So this is probably like that because it's a requirement.
It's the end of. Yeah, this is weird. If it's the and otherwise that's confusing, you could put a but there. You could say shall permit renewal, but reserve. But I like to write things positively in policy rather than negatively. So I don't know if that helps. It might just, that might be confusing.
For my two cents, this is Holly, I think that actually helps.
Okay.
We represent one entity, and it's not really affected by this rule, so, or highly likely to be affected.
I know. I think it's unusual. I think it would be a handful, but what I would hate for this to happen is we write the policy, and for that outlier, then they're stuck with a domain transfer that they can't do. That's what I'm trying to prevent. Because I will tell you that sometimes, and I know you represent a lot of NGOs, the NGOs sometimes break out into subsidiaries, sometimes they'll actually split assets and go in different directions in terms of a changed mission. I mean, there are scenarios I can imagine.
But let's see. Should we make a reserve part shall also
What I would do is you can do two shalls. That's I wouldn't do a but because that's no longer an exception. What I would say is shall permit renewals and shall reserve such labels. So you've got to do two things. You've got to permit renewals and you have to reserve the labels. That might be the clearest.
Lori, I was just going to say the same thing. This is Holly. I think that actually fixes it.
Oh, good. Yeah, it makes more sense to me, too. So they're both...
That's why we work as a team.
Okay. So if this group on the call is okay with this language... I will go ahead and adapt it to our next revision and send it out to the or IRT. Now, there's one more thing Mary just brought up on a language for, let's see, for one of the notices. Mary, since you're on the call, can you remind me which part? Was it a INGO claims notice or was it a INGO registration notice?
It was the claims notice, Dennis, and it was Appendix A, I think.
Okay, Appendix A, claims notice.
page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the part where we say that if the potential registrant continues with the registration, they represent that, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think in the notice, unless it's changed since, you know, I last looked at it, in which case, you know, ignore everything I'm about to say. It said something about you represent, it will not infringe on the rights listed below. You know, I should have picked this up when we went through this the last time around, but, you know, rereading it, I think questions arise as to what rights we're talking about, because we can't be representing that INGOs have rights in their names. So my suggestion was to change the way this is phrased, and Dennis, I think you and some of our colleagues have seen a couple of suggestions I've come up with, which is not perfect, but the basic caveat I have here is just that we really don't want a notice that says you may infringe on legal rights. That could have a chilling effect, especially if we're not in a position to say what those legal rights are.
Correct. So let me see. How should I do this? Do you think you can maybe put into the chat the language that you were proposing that I can copy over here? I think it's your registration and use of the request domain name will not infringe on the rights below. I think it's this page. Mary's working on. So Mary has option one proposed. Your registration and the use of the requested domain name will not infringe on any legal rights that the INGO may have in its name, which your requested domain name matches. Option two, your registration and use of the requested domain name is lawful. Not perfect, but a long shot, but yes, I could do it 3 a.m. in the morning. Stuff that I call mess. Oh, poor Mary. We applaud your dedication. I think Lori supports option one, so let's try that.
Wait. I would include the last part of that. This issue about if it matches. I would just say that any rights the INGO may have in its name, period, because we know that these labels that we're reserving, we're using some rules in there that are a little strange and may have some strange outcomes. So I would just stop at name, which Mary seems to support.
I think you are saying this, right?
Period. Yeah, because if you've got some weirdo names that's still out here, they're not going to match, but they may infringe.
I see. Yeah, your registration and use of the requested domain name will not infringe on any legal rights that the INGO may have in its name.
Period.
Period, yes. That replace your registration and use of the requested domain name were not infringed on the right decision. Okay. I like it better too. Anyone else? Lori, Mary, good teamwork here. If you continue with the registration. So let's see. Today is my day. All right, Lori, keep going.
Good job.
Yeah. I know we've been working on this for a long time, many, many, many years, and I know a lot of things are already happening on the fringes, so it's pretty difficult to keep focus on this development. I understand everybody's situation. So applauding you, all of you, to get us to this far. And, of course, what we have to do is, Erica is not on the call, right? Unfortunately. And so we have our internal ICANN staff go through it and make sure that one last time we're okay with it. And then I will send it to IRT one more time. And in writing, maybe we can get a consensus without another meeting. Because what I'm thinking is, if we can do that, then we'll just meet up next month in October, and then one more time for to check on everything that's going on, and hopefully by then the public comment is underway, and we'll check on the status of other things that are going on. We still have the development implementation work that are underway. And talk about the upcoming ICANN 57 and how we should formulate the agenda for that session. The new changes where the node explained where the changes were made. Yeah. So what you're looking at here is the changes that we have made. Let me see. Let me do that right now, actually. What I'm going to do is, this is the language that we're adopting. And I'm just going to replace the whole thing. So this is the document that you will be receiving, and it should be pretty clear, the red lines, what was originally there and what is being replaced with. Does this work for you, Lori? I'll give you a red line and a clean version. And it'll go to the whole IRT, of course. So, other than that, I was talking about the next steps, and I think we're all on the same page there. So, unless there are other comments or other business that the IRT wants to bring up, bring them up now, and we will discuss it. Other than that, we are going to adjourn. The public comment is it's typical 45 days, and you can see the other things that are going on there. So thank you, Mary. Take care of your cold. Be healthy. We need you. Well, obviously. And Lori, excellent suggestion. This is your day. And Holly, thank you for joining. And we'll sign off.
Thank you, Dennis.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.